Welcome to Off the Court, presented by Point Guard U. Today we are joined by Coach Shane Trauberg, the Dodge City Boys varsity basketball coach. Coach, super pumped to have you on. Thanks for joining us. We'll get right into it. Coach, for our listeners that may not be familiar with you, obviously we have camps all the way out in Colorado, Kansas, all the way to New York. So we have, you know, a good chunk of our listeners that definitely know the name. But for those that are listening that might not know you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe speak to your journey as a coach and how you got to where you're at today?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, you know, I appreciate you having me on. Reed, I'm excited about this and honored to have the opportunity. So I have known I wanted to be a basketball coach since I was in junior high. Like in middle school, I just kind of fell in love with the game and just how it made me feel, the things that I learned from it. And just wanted to be around it and teach it and inspire other kids along their journey as well. But I was better in baseball as far as, you know, I could spot up and shoot really, really well, but athletically, just my skill set was better in baseball. So I played college baseball, but like I said, always in the back of my mind, knew that I wanted to coach basketball and kind of teach life that way. I think basketball doesn't necessarily teach life, but it provides opportunities for us as coaches to teach life to these kids. We face adversity. We set goals together. We're able to, how do you handle success? How do you handle failure? You're going to have coaches that are kind of like a boss that you're going to have someday when you're in the workforce. You're going to have coworkers that you love, coworkers that you don't love. How do you get along with those? So I've always known I wanted to kind of teach kids life through the game. And so then I started out, I'm from Illinois originally, coached some junior high in Illinois, moved to Kansas because my wife is from here, and was able to get some JV jobs and some junior high jobs, and finally got my first head coaching job in Stanton County, which is a tiny little town of Johnson, Kansas, in Southwest Kansas, and had some success there and was able to move to Dodge City, a little bit bigger of a town here, and been blessed to be here. This is my fourth year here.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, I heard a familiar name. One of our guys, Zach McNall, he was an assistant coach of yours. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. Love Zach.
Yeah, that was over at Stanton County. How long were you over there?
I was at Stanton for 3 years.
And then when did you come to Dodge City? Was it 2020?
Yeah, what would that be? This is my fourth year here. So, yeah, right around there.
That's awesome. Now, you know, you spoke to teaching kids life, you know, and basketball definitely is an awesome game to be able to teach so much more than just what goes on inside the 94 feet of the court. How do you navigate coaching the whole athlete? You know, whether it's for some kids, you're like a parental figure, you're a role model, you're a mentor, you're, you know, and especially being in the school during the day, you are, you know, someone that might be the only one who's holding them accountable academically as well as athletically. How do you navigate, you know, coaching the whole student, the whole athlete?
Yeah. I think you hit on the head there. As coaches, sometimes we ended up being father figures. Sometimes we end up being, you know, at times a friend. You don't want to foster a friendship relationship over having that authority. Sometimes you are the only one in their life that's giving them accountability and holding them to a standard. And sometimes you're not. So it's just, you know, sometimes we're a counselor, sometimes we're a boss type figure. It's a lot of things. And one of the things we try to do to foster that, those opportunities to teach, is have pre-practice where we're in a classroom setting every single day. We start out and, you know, do some sort of leadership activity or character building activity or reflection activity where we're setting goals and what's the process going to be like to meet those goals, reflecting on the season and reflecting how that's going to impact us as men outside of the basketball court. And we try to link everything to that, because some days the ball's going to stop bouncing, whether you play college, whether you get to pros, or whether high school is your only experience in sports. You are going to be a these guys are going to be fathers. They're going to be husbands. They're going to be part of our society and hopefully contributing members. So we try to foster those encouragements or those conversation, and encourage them to think about that along the way. So pre-practice is a great time to do that. We try to have conversations along the season, like, how's the season going? And be able to get those one-on-one opportunities Whether that's in at a team meal setting or whether that's at a practice time where we take some time to do that. But we definitely are always looking for opportunities to foster those relationships with the kids.
Now, we were lucky enough to have you coach at our camp in Dodge City, Kansas, this summer. So you're familiar with Point Guard U, and you have an idea of the demographic that we pull from, you know, with 1,300 plus campers. There's a lot of kids that are probably listening to this that might feel like they're on the outside looking in of their program. Maybe they're the ninth kid on the bench. What advice do you have as a varsity head coach to those kids that are striving to get a little more of coach's attention / playing time?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that, a lot of different ways you could go. But I think for me, a lot of times you want to try to work on your weaknesses, and everybody talks about working on your weaknesses, which is important. But I think really cultivate your strength. Like, what is your strength? What can you bring to my team or our team that nobody else can give us? There might be a situation called where you get your shot, and when you get your shot, you're able to run with it. I think the big word for me when I have kids ask that or looking for more playing time is trust. Like, we're at the end of the day, we're going to put kids out there that we trust, that they are going to be in the right spot, be know all the plays, going to take good quality shots, not going to take things that are outside of your skill set, just guys that are going to dive on the floor when there's an opportunity, going to rebound, going to defend. So those would be the two things that I would encourage kids that are looking for more playing time to do, to foster your skill set. Have one thing that you're really, really good at, and you hone in on that. And whether it's I'm an on-ball defender, or I am always in the right spot on the off-ball defense, or I'm the best shooter on the floor. When there's situations we need some shooting, coach can put me in. And then trust. Be a player that your coach can trust in any situation.
Now, a lot of people get to see you on the sidelines. Obviously, Dodd City's a big school, you know, but not too many people get to see you in practice. Obviously, your players get that privilege. But could you kind of walk us through what it would be like or what you are like as a coach in practice?
Sure. I think I always want guys that play for me to know that I have their best interest in mind. It's not just about me and what wins you can get me and what transactional things you can give me, and I'll reward you with playing time. You know, I always want to try to get them to know and understand and believe that Coach Traber cares about me as a person, and he's going to be there for me no matter what I do on the court. And he's going to be there for me when I need him. And if you're able to instill that trust and get that culture and get that buy-in, then I think that you can hold kids accountable. And we, early in the year, we try to say, hey, what do you want to be as a player? What do you want to be as a team? And what does it take to get there? And are you willing to be held accountable to that standard? And if guys are bought in and say yes, and they know that we trust them, then there are times when, yeah, we're going to get on you and we're going to motivate you by holding you accountable. But there's also going to be some fun in there. I think, I always talk about, as a coach, you can't try to be another coach. Like, I can't try to be Brad Underwood or John Calipari or Steve Kerr or anybody else. I have to be the best Shane Traber I can be, but you can also learn from guys. And one of the things I take from, I'm a Warriors fan. I've been a Warriors fan for even before they were good. But one of the things I take from Coach Kerr is joy. Like, I think it's really important for us as coaches to not make this just a job where you clock in and clock out. Like, if you're not making it something enjoyable and things that kids love and want to be a part of, it's going to be hard to continue that day in and day out. And I don't think that means, we talk a lot in our program about the difference between cheap fun that we can have at any time. Like, we can go to a buddy's house and make fun of each other. And like there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not valuable in the long run. So if we do the things, invest time on the front end, do the hard work, learn those lessons, so we don't have to have any regrets at the end of the day, like, that's valuable fun. Like, that's good stuff. That pays off in the end. So as we're doing that, then we can do all the other things. We can have fun. We can We can joke around. We can do some things that aren't as heavy. But throughout that whole process, we want to make sure that we're enjoying it. And because kids are playing basketball, they're investing a lot of time in us, just like we do for them. They only have the same amount of hours in a day that we do. And we try to value that and respect that they're pouring in 2.5 hours a day and hopefully watching some film at home every single day for months and months and months at a time. So we want to make it something that they love.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's important that you talked about that. You know, there's cheap fun and then there's fun that, you know, you can be had, like, even just like, you know, through discipline, right? Winning championships. And, you know, honestly, I think it's important for kids to know, like you said, eventually that ball stops bouncing for all of us. And mm-hmm. I think something I've seen, you know, during my time as a coach was kids take for granted how like much time they have to play the game. You know, if you're a senior, you're only, you know, scrapping up another 20 something times. And I mean, that goes quick. You know, freshmen feel like they have the whole world in front of them, but I mean, it's here today, gone tomorrow. So definitely. And I think basketball is one of the sports, many sports, but I definitely think it's one of the strongest case studies for a sport that if you put in the work, that ball will, you know, will show love back. And I think that, you know, kids need to make sure that they're understanding, like, hey, I only got a couple of years of playing this awesome game. I'll always consider myself a basketball player, but I only got a couple of years of playing this. Put in the work now, maybe skip on the cheap fun, have some discipline, and, you know, experience the most I can out of these years. So I think that's awesome.
For sure. I mean, yeah. I think one of the things that keeps popping up for some reason this year for us, it's kind of been a mantra that we keep repeating, is be where your feet are. You know, I think if we have a tendency as people to always look ahead, like, man, if I can just play college ball, I'm going to be set. I'm going to feel fulfilled in life. And if you get there, it's like, oh, this wasn't it. Maybe if I could play professionally, or maybe it's going to be when I find that girl in my dreams. And then once you find her, it's like, man, I got to get a promotion. I got to make money. I got to have money. And once you get money, it's like, man, that's still not filling me. What is it? When you got to be where your feet are at. You can't get there until you are enjoying and giving everything you got right where you're at right now. And like you said, these opportunities, they slip by so fast. And how many guys your age and my age, I'm probably older than what you guys are, but man, I just wish I could go back for just a little bit and play high school basketball again. Or I just wish I could be with my buddies in the locker room again. Like, we want to make sure you give all that time and pour everything you got and enjoy those memories. And for me, it's like, my wife and I have a 2-year-old daughter, and we're already looking like, man, we're going to be so sad when she's not a toddler running around anymore, or jumping up in our arms. So we want to make sure we don't miss anything along the way and be where our feet are at.
I love that. It's a great expression. I love that. Now, we kind of talked earlier on about the modern coach that has to wear many hats and, you know, fill many roles and coach the whole student, the whole athlete. One of the things that goes along with that, especially in today's day and age, is navigating parental involvement. To what extent do parents have involvement in your program, and how do you navigate that while still encouraging independent growth of the athlete?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd say here at Dodge City, we've been blessed to have great parents. We have a really strong booster club and just parents that are supportive. So that's been great. And like you said, it is a balance between, like, we want we don't want to shut parents out, because we look at it as a partnership. Like, they're making an investment by allowing us to have influence over their sons 3 hours a day. Like, that's huge, because me as a parent, like, I look at my 2-year-old daughter and like, man, I really want to guard who influences her. So, you know, allowing them to do that is a big act of trust on their part. Right. But at the same time, we want these guys to learn how to speak up for themselves and take responsibility for themselves. And because someday mom and dad aren't going to be there. So it's such a balance. And what we try to tell parents early in the year, whether it's a parent teacher conference or when we, you know, are meeting them for the first time, is I have an open door policy, and it's not, you know, nothing is taboo. You want to talk playing time, we'll talk playing time. What your kid can do to get better, we're not necessarily going to compare you to other other kids, your kid to other kids, but we try to make it a partnership. How can we help you, parent? How can we help you make your child the best version of themselves that they can be?
I love that. Now, obviously a huge part of running a successful basketball program is creating a sense of, you know, team camaraderie, having leaders on the team. How do you go about, one, creating the fostering the sense of, you know, community camaraderie that you have on your team, as well as providing opportunities for kids to step into leadership positions? I know you talked about pre-practice a little bit, but I'm interested to hear you talk about it more.
Yeah, it's been interesting because both of the school, like I said, this is my second high school where I've been the head coach. And both times we were able to come in there and have some early success and then really peak, you know, the second year. Both times it's been the second year where I've had a really, really good team. Went 19-3, I think, my second year at Stanton County, 19-4 here, or maybe that's flip-flopped. We were able to take both teams to state. And then both times we graduated that senior class and kind of had a vacuum where, whether it was leadership or a little bit of talent as well, where we had to kind of regroup and try to get back where we were. And both of those times I've been thinking, I'm like, what could we do better? What can I do better to not have that? Or it's just, we're not rebuilding, we're reloading. And I think of it, you know, both times it was like, not just did we have to replace the talent, but the chemistry and culture was just gutted. And it was almost like we have to rebuild and kind of figure out who we're going to be. And leadership is a big part of that. But I think so often we talk as coaches and just in the world today in general, we say leadership, but we don't really know what we mean by that. We got to have leaders. And I think especially at the high school, at least in high school basketball, which is where I'm at and around a lot, I think leadership is almost not, I don't want to say overrated because it's big, it's important, but I think getting buy-in and getting a healthy culture where everybody loves to be there. Everybody loves each other. I think a lot of times as men, we're afraid to say the word love, and like, it's kind of a girly thing or a family thing that you do. Like, you have to, at the end of the day, if you love each other, if those five guys on the court know that, man, this guy has my back and that they love each other, that you could be a lot more special of a team than what your talent adds up to. And you have to kind of build that and foster that. So if you can get buy-in and you can get culture and you can get chemistry that's really, really positive and everybody's pulling the same way, you don't necessarily have to have leaders. Like at the end of the day, the head coach is going to be the leader, right? Like at the end of the day in a business, that boss is going to be the leader. Now, if you can get guys to buy in, they're automatically going to be leaders just by their day-to-day activities and being around each other. So I think getting buy-in and culture and chemistry is number one.
Yeah. I absolutely love what you said. And I'm going to ask a million-dollar question, and I don't expect an answer from this. I think it's more so just a conversation piece, because if you had an answer to it, like I said, it's a million-dollar question. Is it, you know, creating that type of buy-in, that type of love? I've been on a team that was like that before. Is it just a byproduct of like shared suffering and deep like desire to want the same thing? Like what is that? How does a coach who's listening, if there's, you know, we got a lot of coaches that, you know, are connected with Point Guard U that might be listening to this, that might be like, man, I would kill to have that type of buy-in. What are some things that a coach could do? Is it up the torture and conditioning? Is it be more clear with your goals? I mean, like I said, million-dollar question. So take your best shot.
Yeah. It is. It's a tough question. And obviously there's tons of, we could sit here and list 20, 25, 30 things that all add up to that, right? Like there's no one magic bullet, but I think for me, if I had to pick one thing that I'm trying to focus on, and that I think is a big part of it, if you can get this, it would go a long way, is just passion and enthusiasm. Like if you can get kids to see, man, this guy is super excited. Like he just loves basketball and he wants, and not just, but just everybody. Like if we're all super excited about it and we love the game, if you can find you know, you don't need to have this deep. We have 20, 30 kids that love the game. But if you can find five kids, man, that just we're all loving the game. We all have the same purpose. And we're enthusiastic about it. We're passionate about it, what we do. We're not afraid to put our heart out there. And that's something we talk about the kids too. Sometimes today, kids don't want to put their heart out there. And like, man, you can tell that kid is giving all he's got, because what if you fail, right? What if you fail? Like, you're kind of being a try hard. Isn't that a thing that you hear a lot of kids say today? Because if you put yourself out there and you fail, that hurts, man. That hurts. And we talk about, like, to have a good quality relationship, to have a marriage, you have to be willing to put your heart out there, and that girl can break it, right? Like, to be willing to have that and pour yourself into it, you risk heartache and you risk devastation, but that's the only way you can get to special things. Like, we told our guys just even yesterday in practice, like, everybody across the state is practicing right now. Like, we can't feel entitled. Even one of my leaders on the team this year said, man, I think we got a feeling of entitlement, coach. And he told everybody else, like, you can't feel entitled and special just because you're showing up and putting some work in. Like, everybody does that, you know, league championships and state, going to state and state championships. Those are reserved for the teams that are willing to do more than everybody else. And that goes to all of life. Right. So I think for me, I would answer that question. If you can get guys that truly buy into your passion and your goal and your enthusiasm, that's a big part of getting the culture headed the right direction.
Coach, I think I owe you $1 million. That was a great answer.
No, I don't know about that. Like I said, there's 100 things that, you know, I could have said anything else and sold you on that as well. So,
well, that's awesome. Now, reflecting on your coaching career, are there any specific moments or achievements that stand out to you as particularly rewarding or memorable? And if so, why?
Man, that's a good question. I think for me, you know, obviously you look back and like, hey, we had a really good team there, or we won this big game. It was huge. Those things are always going to be fun to talk about and think about. But for me, it's when I get a text from a kid that I haven't had contact with or coached for years. And they're just like, whether it's a middle of the night text and they're in a situation in life they need some advice on, and they've reached out to you because they know they can trust you and they value what you say, that's big. Or if it's just, hey coach, just haven't talked to you in a long time, how are you doing, hope things are well, like those things to me are more valuable than the wins and losses, because they mean more. Like, you know, life is more than wins and losses, so those things to me stand out.
100%. I got a birthday text from a former player the other day. I felt the same way too, like just being able to have the privilege of like keeping in touch with players and being a part of their life is you know, it's a huge blessing. And I think that's honestly, if you ask most coaches, I feel like that's the truth. Even if a coach does talk about their state championship, I think that rings true with a lot of coaches. How we end all of our podcasts here, we have a little lighthearted segment called Full Court Press, where we ask you some quick hitting questions. We got Coach Rob Cahill, the shot doctor, here with us today. For those of you that are just listening and can't see us, Coach Rob's going to do the pleasure of putting you through the ringer through some full court press.
All right, Coach Rob, hit me.
All right, we'll do. What is your favorite?
You cut out a little bit. My favorite what?
Your favorite color.
Color. I would say either orange or red. I'm from Illinois, so Illinois orange or St. Louis Cardinal red. One of those two.
Okay. What is your favorite?
You're cutting out again. My favorite what?
Favorite cereal.
Favorite cereal. Well, if I'm going like the healthier route where I can eat something all the time, it would be like Honey Nut Chex or Honey Nut Cheerios. But if I just want like a treat snack every once in a while, it'd be like Cocoa Krispies or Cocoa Pebbles.
Great choice.
Now, is it milk before cereal or cereal before?
As far as pouring into the bowl order,
yes.
I would definitely say cereal before milk, because you're going to fit a lot more cereal in there that way.
What is your favorite?
My favorite what?
Your favorite movie.
Movie. Man, yes. I'm a big movie guy. So this is an important question. I can't just flippantly answer this one. Man, I love, obviously I'm a basketball guy, so I love Hoosiers. And I know that's probably a common popular answer. I love the Count of Monte Cristo. It's kind of an old one, Jim Caviezel, but that's one of my favorites. I'm probably going to kick myself after this podcast for neglecting to mention a couple, but I have to think about that one.
We can get, you can text me and we'll put it honorable mentions in the podcast description.
All right. I need to do that.
Now, would you rather give up appetizers or dessert?
Would I rather give up something or dessert is what I caught in there.
Would you rather give up appetizers or desserts for the rest of your life?
Oh, man. Neither if I had the choice, but if I had to get rid of one, I'd probably say appetizers. I'm a sweet tooth type of guy.
I love it. I love it. Best Gatorade color?
My favorite is orange.
Orange. Good choice. Best player you have ever played against or coached against? I won't make you ask the best player you've coached because that's not a fair question. So best player you've played against or coached against?
Oh, man. Trying to even think. I mean, there's been a lot of good ones. I'm trying to think if anyone stands out as like they went on to be a big name that everybody would remember.
Did you ever play against Semi?
No.
No.
No, I didn't.
Or coach against him, I mean?
No. It might, man, I'm trying to think. Nothing is standing out. Nothing is standing out. That might have to be, again, I'll think about it and kick myself for getting a couple names. I might have to shoot that in the comments as well.
Yeah, another honorable mention. Well, here's one I think you'll get. Loudest crowd you've ever played or coached in front of?
Man, there's a lot of good ones. I'm going to have to give it up for my high school, Warrensburg Latham, is that we had some really good crowds. We had a really good announcer, like small town Illinois announcer that just got the crowd super hyped. I still remember it to this day. It's Central Illinois basketball time. The game is on right before the ref would throw that tip ball up and he would get us hyped. So I'll say my high school.
I love it. That's gives you chills, the goosebumps, right? Well, Coach, I know you got a big game tonight against your rival. How are we looking tonight? How are we looking for the rest of the season?
Yeah, big time game for us for sure. We're coming up. We have four games left, and we always talk about the season being a mountain that you're climbing, and you want to be at your best when you're reaching the top of that mountain because it's the second season what we're playing for. So we're hoping that in these next four games we can kind of hit our stride because we've hit some really high points this year where we've outplayed some super, super good top of the state type teams, but not quite pulled it all together. And we've also had some low points where we feel like, man, this just our energy wasn't there. Everything wasn't there. So if we can put all four quarters together, we feel like we can make a run. We're right at 500 right now, and we're excited about the pieces we have. So we just want to put it all together.
That's awesome. Well, we're pulling for you, and we're looking forward to seeing you this summer at camp again, hopefully.
All right, I appreciate it. And again, thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. You're welcome back anytime. Thanks, Coach.